Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast. It's lovely to have you here. Lovely, that is, because you're not physically in the studio. If you were, then we would have to make a less sweeping assessment, because some of you, we're guessing, aren't that lovely. Coming up on this week's show, the gaming BAFTAs have been handed out and we were there. We'll have all the goss from the night. The 3DS sells faster than the Wii on Amazon's pre-orders, and Zune is dead, almost officially. Plus, we'll have a brand new segment with a brand new jingle. Before all that, let me introduce my co-host, the lovely Ree Morgan, and the man whose penis is mightier than the sword. I think there's a space missing there. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome.
That was the best one for ages.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
How are we all?
Yeah, great.
Chuckled.
Are you sure you're great, Duncan? You seem a bit fragile.
Yeah, I do feel a bit fragile.
Celebrating St. Paddy's.
St. Patrick's Day today. Well, so difficult because, by the time you listen to this, St. Patrick's Day yesterday, come last week.
Yeah.
And the video game BAFTAs.
And you'll still be recovering. Excellent. Well, we cannot start without first draining you of excess bitterness, of course. What would you like to divulge this week?
Gently squeeze out my bitterness. this week I've got it's quite a simple question, really. Oh. How difficult is it to make an alarm clock work?
Oh, yes.
How can alarm clocks possibly go wrong on such a frequent and mystifying basis?
You refer, of course, to the iPhone.
Yeah, it's just it's ridiculous.
Was it just in the US this time, or did it happen here?
No, it happened here because my alarm didn't go off.
What is it?
And I was late for my for work.
Well, I've had colleagues just not turn up, and you know, it's a reasonably valid excuse when you can point to the internet and go, look,
yeah,
really.
But
my
sometimes
alarm
the
didn't
last
go off.
Time it happened, people were saying, oh yeah, I was an hour late for work, but then you should have been an hour early for work.
No, but the alarm just doesn't go off at all. It's not. I don't think it readjusts it by an hour.
It just
fails to work because it's almost like the Millennium Bug or something. The computer gets confused.
But you're right. I mean,
as a result, fails to work.
All the wonderful things Apple has achieved, you'd have thought it could get an alarm clock.
For my money, it completely overrules all the things Apple have achieved.
Undone
the
in
fact
one
they
fell
cannot
swoop.
Get a bloody alarm clock to work. I mean, ugh.
Ugh.
Schmeal already.
Very well. Excellent.
That's what I say.
Well, damning report there. Anyway, to our top story, and it is the results of this year's UK Gaming Oscars, the video game BAFTAs. They were announced this week at a glittering awards ceremony at the Hilton Park Lane in London. Naturally, T3 were on hand to record the proceedings and meet the faces behind the biggest games of the past 12 months. Ree, Duncan, you were both there this time.
Yeah.
I was in the lowly press area. Duncan was in the glitz and glamour
area. You don't seem to work so much at these events. more kind of work the floor.
Or fall on the floor. I'm not going to pretend that my presence was massively demanded by the gaming community, but the editor was initially invited. He couldn't go, so our reviews editor was going to go, but then she was ill.
Right.
And so as a last resort, it was is there anybody from T3 who can come? And I was like, yeah, sure.
Wow. Free booze.
Yeah, well, because I went for it. I suppose everybody knows the games industry is a really big thing.
Yeah.
And what underlined it the most for me is that I did actually go to the gaming BAFTAs about 3 or 4 years ago, and it was in the Roundhouse in Camden,
right.
And it was quite soon after the smoking ban, and it King stank. It was so horrible, and the host was Ian Lee.
Oh, in that way where places stink and the smoke used to mask it.
Yeah.
They hadn't brought out the scented candles. And the host was Ian Lee, who I just think is like a sort of hopeless streak of piss. And he was actually there last night, but he was relegated to somebody who gives out an award. And the host was Dara O'Brien.
Yeah,
really, really good.
Excellent.
So it was like, oh wow, so we've come from like this kind of
grown
poo stinking hellhole in Camden
to the
admittedly quite agreeable.
Because they are sort of the poorer cousin of the BAFTAs, but the gaming industry now, money wise, it's bringing in the dollars, isn't it?
It was a lot. I've been to the TV. I've never been to the film BAFTAs, which I imagine is probably a bit slicker. Mm. I've been to the TV BAFTAs. I actually had a fight there. I had a punch up with my boyfriend at the time. Yeah, because it was so...
Was that the end of the relationship?
There was nothing to do but drink. No, there was
nothing to do but fight.
That was more the recurring theme of that particular relationship. Right. But I'd say the gaming BAFTAs is miles better than the TV one.
Did you put that in the review?
And not just because I didn't have a fight with anyone. Like, the gaming one is... it's really slick, you know, obviously the visuals are amazing. Mm. If you're talking about British telly, obviously a lot of the time you're talking about quite dull, sort of, you know, kind of low rent.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was impressed? Well impressed. Mm.
Good, well, okay, you had a good time then. So, best game, BioWare.
I thought that was a bit of a shock.
RPG Mass Effect. Yeah, it's BioWare's RPG Mass Effect 2.
Well, except... And I thought this is a brilliant and fantastic idea, which I think we should nick for the T3 Awards. In order to avoid the awards kind of flagging midway through, they actually have two games of the year. I thought that was a masterstroke. Well, because it's like everybody's waiting for the big award. And they actually have the big award twice.
And then there's the game award.
There's the best game. Well, basically, it's voted judges. Yeah, judges
vote.
Yeah,
because I was going to ask you about this, because Mass Effect 2 seems to be getting mopping up the kind of critical press awards. And then, in terms of sales and general popularity, Call of Duty Black Ops is just like wiping the floor. And that's how it's panned out here. So best game went to Mass Effect 2, which I called an RPG. And I think our review says it's not an RPG. and the Game Award,
I would call it the only public.
Yes, it's one voted for by the public, goes to Call of Duty Black Ops. It's kind of exactly how the year has gone for those two games.
Do you know what that says to me is never ask the public their opinion on anything, because the public don't know what they're talking about. Not that I'm a massive fan of Mass Effect.
And more people have Call of Duty, don't they? So then you'd assume...
Yeah, in terms of more people have played it, you can rate it in that sense. Exactly. Yeah, that would make sense.
And also Call of Duty is this kind of monolithic... You know, bulldozer that sort of gets, you know,
Mass Effect 2 has
huge amounts of hype as each game comes out.
It has a lot going on in there. I mean, I think the reason the review says it's not an RPG is because it's sort of a hybrid of so many things.
Yeah,
it's stunning though.
Yeah,
the game,
I thought I've got to be honest, it's not entirely to my taste, but it looks really good. There's obviously a lot of thoughts gone into it. It's got more depth than Call of Duty, but that's not saying anything. It doesn't involve endlessly running down corridors shooting things.
So
it's got more depth in that respect.
The awards were pretty well spread, actually, because best action game went to Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Mm. Yeah, I think they were expecting more, because they were up for 7.
Well, this is it. No, I think there was only... I can't remember which game it was, but got like 2 or 3 awards, but they were in the kind of more minor categories. No one picked up more than one big award.
No.
Which is democratic, I guess, or
hedging your bets.
Yes, more likely.
Maybe that's called not trying to piss anybody off. Because Rockstar weren't there. There was no delegation from Rockstar, and that wasn't because they weren't nominated for anything, because they said they weren't going to come because
They didn't put it. They
Grand
didn't
Theft
put themselves
Auto,
up.
No, Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thinking anyway. Grand Theft Auto 4 didn't win anything, and so they sort of were sulking about that.
It has.
That seemed to be the consensus.
Yeah. It's not been. I think we build it quite highly, Grand Theft Auto 4, and it's not. Mm. It's not cut the mustard up against
people
things
like there's loads of hype,
Call
but then
there's
like.
Quite interestingly, best handheld game for the first time went to a mobile phone game.
Yeah.
Cut the Rope on the iPhone.
I think that was well deserved.
I mean, it's saying something, isn't it? I mean, it beat God of War, Ghost of Sparta on the PSP and Sonic Colors on the DS, you know, proper handheld gaming machines. Mm. iPhone beats it. I mean, it's not an epic. Let's be frank.
But neither is any game on handheld gaming. No. You can't really have an epic
not
on
necessarily.
The handheld.
Yeah. It's basically a creature in a box and you cut a rope. I think I've summed up the game.
That's true. But
it's
then PSP God of War, all the God of War games really, but PSP God of War is just... You run around swinging your big thing on a chain, repeatedly pressing the same buttons until everything is dead. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, there are parallels.
It's considerably prettier, but there's not a great deal going on.
They're not out on a limb on this one. We gave it 5 stars in the games charts, so it's, you know.
Yeah.
It's better than Angry Birds.
Well, that didn't come out last year, did it?
Yeah.
No, I'm just. Were they pitted against each other?
I'd go with Angry Birds. Mm-hmm.
I prefer Cut the Rope. Mm.
Yeah. Evenly split. Excellent. Kinect did get a look in after becoming the biggest selling gadget of all time.
Yeah.
Kinect Sports won Best Family Game.
and Connectimals.
Yeah, it did.
Which I've never heard of, but it's a brilliant name.
Yeah.
That was nominated for quite a lot of things. It didn't win, but it was nominated.
There's a few celebs there. You were mopping up the celebs.
Yeah, I did mop up the celebs. On the red carpet, I spoke to Danny Wallace.
Right.
I'm going to start at the bottom.
Yes. Are they going to get bigger than that? Is that...
Blue. Yeah.
Your Eurovision entry. Yeah.
Then Joe Calzaghe.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Dara O'Brien.
Yeah,
he was the host.
He was the host.
Yeah, okay.
Then also...
Gandhi.
Ben Kingsley. Sir Ben Kingsley.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned it. He, because he presented the BAFTA Fellowship Award to Peter Molyneux.
Yeah. Oh, and I speak to Peter
Molyneux. Molyneux.
I say Molyneux, I say.
I'm guessing.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Yes. But he presented him the award.
Yes.
Because Ben Kingsley worked on Fable 3.
Yeah.
As the voice of King of Mist Peak.
Mm.
Correct. He worked on Fable 3 and was available. So he was there.
Yes.
That's how it works. I actually, because I was briefly backstage while Ree was doing all the interviews, and I really wanted to go and say hello to Ben Kingsley.
Did you not?
Well, I didn't, because in my experience, when I meet people when I'm drunk who are famous, I would have just gone up to him and go, oh, I really thought you were really good in that film, in Sexy Beast. And I was sort of playing through the scenario in my mind, and I thought, yeah, I'll go and say, yeah, I thought you were amazing in Sexy Beast. It's like one of my favourite performances. I mean, basically because it's like he was Gandhi and then he does loads of swearing and Sexy Beast is this gangster film. But then I was playing out the scenario more in my mind and I could see it going down the line of me then saying, to be fair, I haven't really liked you in anything else and your kind of reputation is that you're a dick. And then it would all have been very sort of...
And then you'd come out with something like, I love the calamari or something.
Can you leave now, please? Yeah. And that sort of thing.
It would have all gone downhill.
He didn't meet him in the end.
Didn't go for that. Oh,
I did see
a shame.
I did stand near him.
Yeah.
Good.
Until his oily suited
bodyguard. He was with this really shiny suited guy who kept on basically positioning himself between me and Kingsley. Like almost as if he thought I was going to suddenly make a dash.
Make
a dash for Kingsley whilst exploding explosives that I'd had strapped to my body.
I think he had you down quite well there. Excellent. Anyway, enough of that. Because it is time to say, here is the news. Yes, as we mentioned, a week after Kinect was named the fastest-selling gadget ever, Amazon says the 3DS is smashing all pre-order records. The 3D handheld, which goes on sale on March 25th, has pre-orders 56% higher than the Wii did and a whopping 5 times higher than a Nintendo DSi's.
Meanwhile, pre-orders for the iPad, which launches on the same day in the UK, have started popping through letterboxes stateside after its launch over there. Bad news for those who didn't get their name down is that the waiting time online is now up to 5 weeks. Hopefully, that's because they're holding plenty back for us.
I should hope so. Samsung's announced it's launching a 3D video on-demand service in its native Korea ahead of a US and European rollout. The 3D VOD service promises a variety of content from DreamWorks with 3D films, movie trailers, and music videos for users touting internet-connected 3D TVs.
Reaching us from the opposite direction will be The Daily, the iPad newspaper from News Corp. It'll be coming here from the States by June. Pricing for UK and European editions of The Daily are currently unknown. Subs in the US work out at 8p a day.
Bargalicious. Microsoft's Zune is no more. At least, that's according to a Bloomberg report, which says it's found out from a person familiar with the decision that the music player is being canned. The ill-fated iPod rival never made it here from its native US, and now it seems it never will. Microsoft hasn't commented.
I'll try to carry on. And finally, Sonic and Street Fighter teaming up with the Japanese Earth. I've said that too excitedly.
Too excited. It's a
and finally,
story.
Sonic and Street Fighter teaming up for the Japanese earthquake. Hooray. Downloading either Street Fighter 5, 4, or any of the Sonic the Hedgehog titles for the App Store before the 20th of March, we'll see all the proceedings go straight to help the rescuers in Japan.
Good on them. Yes, I think they're about a maximum of like £2 or £3, aren't they, I think?
Yeah.
So, worth a pop. Anyway, time to see what you've been tweeting to @T3DOTCOM. Duncan.
Yep. Bobby Dazzler.
Brilliant.
Robert Kenworthy.
Although the L is a 1. Did you notice that? Subtle.
Because somebody else was already Bobby
Possibly.
Dazzler.
Possibly. Possibly.
Otherwise, it'd been like Bobby Dazzler 36.
Not as good.
Yeah. Anyway, he says, "Hey, I love all things tech. I need a job. can I work at T3? I would not let you down. That's a promise. Hashtag desperate times." That is fairly desperate.
What, desperate that he wants to work for us, or desperate that he's making a plea?
Must be desperate.
Either way. well, send us your CV, Mr. Dazzler. Yeah. And,
Robert.
Yeah. Well, you see, the first test in the job interview is whether he listens to the T3 podcast, clearly. So he won't even know that he should send us a CV.
Yeah, to Duncan. Should we go to mail at T3?
Mail at? Yes.
What's our mail?
Mail
address?
At t3.com.
I don't know.
Is that an address? I have no idea. Your second test is to find out the T3 email address. Excellent. Ree, what have you got?
I've got one from Big Peanuts or Big Pinos.
Oh, about that.
I see. As in, he likes sort of big, bold Pinot Grigios.
Grigios, yeah, of course.
I would imagine.
Podcast
Pinot Noir.
From T.
Or Pinot Noir. Yeah, excellent.
Podcasts from T3 are a great, light-hearted take on tech. Oh. Liking the sound of an AR tube app to turn everyone beautiful.
Oh, that was Duncan's app from last week. Yes. So, there we go. Excellent.
Lovely. Maybe we had one too many Pinos.
Yes, possibly. Charlie Reeves, 86. Playing Kinect Sports at my house got 3 people to buy a Kinect, and one of those included my 70-year young granddad. I see. I like what he's done there. Yes. Instead of 72-year-old granddad, you see, he's saying, he's still a spring chicken. That was we were saying last week about the appeal of the Kinect. So merely
selling them.
Is there, no.
Is this the success of the Kinect is based on like
this one man?
You know, they used to have Ann Summers parties and Tupperware parties.
There you are.
You'd invite That's people around and be like, "Now, girls, this is a beautiful motion-controlled gaming device." Mm-hmm.
Dan, I can see next you're going to ask a question I don't know the answer to.
Well, that's nothing new about that. because John 1000 John, in fact.
Great name.
What time in the morning do the Apple stores open for the launch of the iPad 2 next Friday? And the answer is, what, you don't know?
7:30.
That's a guess.
Well, I think get down there early.
Yeah.
Get down there early.
Why not?
I'd recommend getting down there
early. Yeah.
I know in the States, I think... They opened in the evening.
Yeah, five,
afternoon. Yeah. It was like 5 or 5:30. So yeah. It may not be a morning opening.
But I think they're usually they're around 10.
Okay, right.
So
well, that's some
we've
interesting
given you
answers.
A bit of everything
it could be anywhere
there.
Between 10 and 5, or of course between 5 and 10.
Nintendo DS, 3DS goes on sale at midnight. I know that.
Okay, good.
Somewhere between midnight and midnight the following day.
Now, interestingly, on the back of that...
Actually, no, Dan, hang on a sec. Yeah. You've missed out the very best tweet of this week.
No, I don't think I have. I'm not sure I have. Is it something to do with... Is it anything to do with something we said last week?
Yeah, this.
Is it? Yeah? Yeah? It is? Okay, good.
No,
it's not. All right, go on then.
Oh. No, there was a visual tweet from
there was from Lord Otter. Did you miss it?
I saw he'd replied to something and I didn't click on the conversation. What was the start of all that?
It's a drawing of Dunk.
Oh.
The thing about Lord Otter is like, or Henry, as we call him, having now met him, is he's like a kind of artistic guy as well as a habitually drunk one. And you remember we were talking about what's the iPad going to be like, and we were saying, oh, it'd be a slight tweak, a bit thinner, a bit more powerful, etc. And I said, oh, we're going to absolutely shit ourselves if it comes out and it's like a sort of floating pyramid with lasers coming out of it. Yeah, he did this little cartoon of like...
Of a floating pyramid.
I think it was meant to be me.
It was Duncan holding his iPad.
Floating pyramid laser device. It was fantastic.
Oh, okay. Have we retweeted that?
Yes, I did.
Excellent. Good. Okay.
Very flattering picture of me as well.
Good. Well, okay. Anyway, on the back of our complete stab in the dark at the Apple Store opening, now we go to a new addition to the T3 podcast. What we got wrong on the T3 podcast last week? Yes, what we got wrong on the T3 podcast.
Where did that come from? Did you make it?
I didn't, actually. I commissioned that from a musically talented person.
Why did they record it over a sort of 1970s telephone? Wouldn't they be better off using some sort of tape recording type device? What we got wrong on the T3 podcast last week?
Yeah, there's a bit of something going on in the background there.
It's a great tune. It's a bit tinny though. We need to get that remixed by somebody
in high def.
Shackleton.
Something. Excellent.
He's my favourite dubstep producer.
Lovely. Well, this has been inspired by the iTunes review, which complained that we suggested Thunderbolt may be an Apple proprietary interface. I'm so embarrassed, really. When, of course, everyone knows
must have been
it's made by Intel, so not proprietary. So what did we get wrong last week? Well, have a listen to this.
If I buy an iPad 2 Wi-Fi, it'll work, no trouble in the UK, won't it? But yes. Of course it'll work.
Yeah,
yes. Okay. 3G, not so much, but no, Wi-Fi is
definitely
Wi-Fi.
Definitely 3G will not work because it's locked down.
So that's...
3G, not so much.
And...
3G will not work because it's locked down.
Okay, so
can you have you going, agreeing?
Yeah, don't try and make out. I said, no, hang on, guys.
I said nothing. I think I was gesticulating at you like, surely that's wrong. But, you were so confident.
Cutthroat gestures and sort of.
Well, that was the reply we gave to the original tweet that you heard earlier from Kevin Murray, 82. Then we heard from Deleuze, who is, in fact, I didn't realize this, Anton Neki, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this, Nekianko, possibly, who is T3 Russia's deputy editor-in-chief.
Oh, wow.
You see? Who says, contrary to what you've stated in the last podcast, the US iPad 2 3G is carrier unlocked and can work in the UK as well as in other countries. So there we go. That's as told.
Well, that's that done then.
I know, but...
to be fair...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because on the Apple website, it does say...
It does state.
Here we go. iPad works with Wi-Fi, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to get to the...
It says learn more.
Well prepared, Dan.
Yeah,
it corresponds to the carrier you like to use 3D. The iPad you choose is configured to work only with
that's
one
the, that's
carrier.
That's the bit. Thank you, Ray.
That's the nub.
That's the nub, yeah. So implying that it's locked, and that's why we said it wouldn't work, but apparently it's not. So there we are.
Well, they've made us look silly, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Who are we to believe now?
Well, who are we to believe? But anyway. What we got wrong on the T3 podcast last week.
It's lovely. Growing on me, that jingle.
Yeah, I was described as opera rock to me. I'm not aware of that style. But,
I don't get that far down.
Yeah, anyway, what have we got for our gadget of the week?
Oh, that sounds so substandard now. Cool. Next to the. Do you know what? You know, you guys. I feel like I've let you down of late. With
gadgets of the week.
So, or things that you've seen 3 days beforehand. Yeah.
However, you have.
I actually have physical gadgets today, and not one but two.
Three. Even.
One each. Well, three.
Okay, pass two and me a half. That one.
I've got the iPad 2 and the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1.
Here we go.
Well, I've seen
Let's have your reaction.
I've seen the tab.
And the smart cover is the other one.
Yeah, I've got to say, this is the first time that I've seen the iPad 2. I do like it in white. I didn't think I would. It's not a kind of a screaming sort of glacier white.
No.
It's
like the iPod white. You know, the old iPod?
Yes,
it's
you're
that
right.
Kind of white.
Slightly yellowy. Yes, it is. Now, I do rather like it. I mean, it's not, in terms of style, almost the older iPad. Maybe look better. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it's like easy to hold.
Okay. Although I do like the smart pack.
The smart covers.
I'm not loving the color. This is the pale blue one, which they showed off in the demo. But in terms of functionality, I'm gonna do the little flap here next to the mic. Oh, oof! Oh,
look at that action.
Hear those magnets? No, that's beautiful.
Dunk, you've got the...
Well, you see, because...
10.1.
I did have a fiddle with the iPad
Samsung
2
Galaxy Tab 10.1 earlier in there, yes.
It seemed all right. Am I being incredibly thick? How do I get this back to the homepage?
No, it took a while. It's that button there.
Oh, it's like a soft button.
Yeah.
Ah.
Oh.
They have done away with the hard buttons. Interesting.
Yeah. Not liking that.
Well, this is quite nice. It's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got a nice... Well, no.
It's not... I mean...
When you've got the iPad in one hand and then you've got the tab by one. I think this is not as intuitive to use, but I think it feels more like a computer.
Really?
And it's got tabs on the browser and
I mean that is true actually. The honeycomb devices, they seem like they could do more. You could, if you really wanted to, you could do more with it.
Yeah.
This touchscreen does appear to be haptic.
But then,
which is good. I've not been able to say the word haptic for a while.
Yeah.
Or indeed even then.
But really, then in terms of sheer usability, you can't really beat this, can you, this iPad?
Do you know what I like about the new iPad? Because it's not, you know, really all that different to the old iPad.
I'll swap you
or what? Or what, I suppose I should say, I was initially quite excited about with the new iPad, is it can actually detect how hard you're pressing the screen.
Yeah, on GarageBand.
But having played with it, it's still a cool thing, but it only really detects how hard you're pressing the screen in terms of it's either hard or soft. It's
I think there's three
really?
Settings. Yeah,
because I did try bashing it quite hard, and it didn't seem to get any louder.
There's three, so it's like touching it really lightly, medium, hard.
Okay.
I mean, just flicking between the screens, you know, on this Honeycomb, it's a slicker experience in terms of visually. Mm. You know, it kind of wraps around the sort of 3D effect going on. That's nice. But, you know, just in terms of plain usage, actually, you don't need...
You don't pick it up and go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
you know, that's what you do on the tab, is just go back and forth.
Because
Yeah,
it looks quite cool. But
but the icons aren't as obvious. You don't feel like, oh, that's where that is.
But you get used to it, I guess.
Yeah, you do, definitely.
I think the most important question we have to ask about this new iPad is the T3 iPad edition available on the iPad 2? Will it work on the iPad 2?
It will. It will work on the iPad 2.
God.
Praise Jesus.
Panic over everyone.
And we still don't know if it's coming to Android, do we?
We don't know, but...
We don't know, but...
I think we're now more seriously looking into it. Yes. Is that fair to say? Are we able to say that?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's good.
Well, we've said it now.
Excellent. Okay, so...
Well, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm an unreliable witness.
That could be what we got wrong in the podcast next week.
In breaking news...
When the publisher says, you weren't meant to mention that, and then we'll have to say, we're not... Isn't Android, no, forget it.
In breaking news, though, my mum is buying the iPad 2.
Wow!
Because she wants one that she can use Skype or FaceTime
on.
So... She had a play with the iPod and really loved it. But yeah, she's waiting for the camera. So yep, she will be there.
Ah, well, she might be a tad disappointed.
Oh.
Is it? Can we reveal to the UK listeners the camera on this is not good?
Oh, really?
At all. It's okay for
the
video.
The video camera is good.
Oh, well, that's all she needs it for.
Yeah.
But for taking
camera,
stills,
is it ropey?
Zero, dear.
Because the iPhone 4 cameras is good.
Mm. Yeah, no, it looks terrible.
It's so bad.
It obviously takes like a JPEG and just compresses it to the oomph degree. So it looks a bit like a watercolour or something. Yeah. And it's just very smudgy.
So not loving the camera.
Blurry.
Well, look at this. Look, here we are. Here's Ree.
Okay.
This beautiful picture of Ree.
Oh, you're right.
Have you put it on screen lock? Why isn't it turning around?
Yeah, probably on screen.
Well, that's not that special, is it?
No.
Hmm. Okay. Disappointing. Oh, that's a shame.
I love it when you have visual elements on this podcast. It's so good, isn't it? Everybody's sitting at home going, well, I can't see that. What the hell are they talking about that for?
Evoke that very nicely. Lovely. Now, a quickie to round off with from teeth.com, which has been finding the weird gadgets of 2011, or at least the ones with the strangest tech designs, that is. There's only five of them, and there's three of us, so two of these are going to get left out, sadly.
Aww.
I know. But any of these grab your, would you be particularly going for any of these?
I'm
going
to go with the SanDisk.
SanDisk.
Sounds like a curry dish. SanDisk.
It is. SanDisk sound like some sort of sanitary product, I suppose. Like
SanDisk ImageMate.
Kind of round.
I really like, because I've...
Kind of like an iPad.
SanDisk, they're kind of, in terms, if you know, if you're a photographer pro and you want the best kind of cards, SanDisk are right up there. And they make...
That's the most boring sentence
I know. But in terms
I'll tell you what, mate, if you're looking for memory cards, SanDisk.
It's a memory card.
But card readers, they're not that exciting, are they? So there's two, there's one, mate, I can't remember the other one, what it's called, but this one is like, in terms of design, they've actually thought about it. And it does look...
But it looks stunning. Yeah, it looks cool, but it's actually much smaller than it actually...
Yeah, if you see this in the magazine, it implies it's some kind of towering card machine.
It's like the size of a credit card.
Yeah, but it's not that big. I mean, you can see the size of the... You know what the size of a compact flash card slot is, so you can see how relatively it's enlarged on the page. But
is it okay if I just go to sleep at this point? What I want to know is...
That is the most exciting card reader ever made.
I bow to your greater experience. Does it use... MS Pro by Sony Ericsson. That's all I care about for a.
Yeah, no.
Does
yes,
it have
it does.
Sony's
yes, it
many
does.
Ludicrous?
It does. It has MS Pro
formats.
And the Duo.
Good.
MS Pro Duo.
Yeah.
Get
excellent.
It does have MS Pro.
Well, you inspect the features of that. I'm going to go for something slightly more expensive because that's only £23 as well, by the way. So, you know. Yeah, for something that actually looks quite
good. Should we try and describe what it looks like as the whole point of this? No. Or are you just saying go and look it up on the website?
Go and look it up.
It just looks like
it. Because it does look good. I will try and
describe. It's got a kind of looming quality to it, which has been described by whoever wrote this, Adam, I think, as being a bit like an Easter Island statue.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that works.
Which I think I can see.
Okay. I'm going to go for something slightly more expensive at £670, which is the Electra Microcassa Aleva.
Sold it to me now.
Yeah, just with my smooth Italian accent there.
That was pretty sexy.
Which is basically, it's an espresso maker, but it's an espresso maker. Who's that? Who are those design guys? Are they steampunk? Are those the guys that make ridiculous, they make computers with like rivets?
I have no idea what you're on about.
Okay, well, they exist, right? And if they were going to design an espresso maker, this is how it would look. It looks like a contraption that would have come out of, you know, some factory in the Victorian times and have steam emanating from every...
Except it's got a sort of vaguely fascistic sort of...
eagle at the top.
A lighting eagle on top, and it's made of gold.
Yes, there is a...
Made of gold?
Well,
there is an element...
It's a sort of gold type colour.
A touch of the Mussolini to it. but still...
Do you want to know what we said about it in
Go
the magazine?
On.
This regal contraption looks like something a gay fascist dictator might have in his beautifully appointed yet sinister kitchen.
Well, Mussolini all over.
Yes.
Who liked his coffee.
It is massively over the top. I like it, but I don't think that many people could have that in their kitchen.
No. It wouldn't sit well on my IKEA worktop.
Liberace, maybe.
Perhaps. Duncan, what would you select from the smorgasbord of design?
I like this mouse thing. The
crazy Belkin mouse.
It's basically like a mouse that's sort of vomiting out half of a keyboard or a sort of numeric keypad, I suppose. It's sort of issuing from it and it's sort of, I don't know, it kind of reminds me of, there's this Japanese film called Tetsuo the Iron Man, which is about a sort of metal fetishist who is run over by a car and he starts to sort of extrude metal from himself.
I'll look that one up on Love Film.
It's a bit like... Well, it's reminiscent of that in a weird way.
It reminds me of...
I don't actually know what it's for. Is it for, like, gaming or something? Or is it for accountancy?
Yes, yeah, it is. You can assign the buttons.
Accountancy, I think.
Well, you can do a bit of accountancy on it, I'm sure, but you can also assign all the buttons.
Because it just seems like too many buttons. But I suppose if you're...
You can never have too many.
Well, that's true.
If you're a pro gamer.
It does remind me a bit more of the Power Glove, the Nintendo 1980s accessory.
Yeah, it does slightly have an element of that as well.
Basically,
it looks nothing like a mouse. I think that's what I like about it. It looks nothing like a mouse.
You see, that's the whole point of these gadgets. They don't really look like what they're intended to be. But that is
a fair point. That is indeed the entire point of the feature.
Yes.
But they do look interesting. Excellent. Okay, well, it's all on T3.com or in this month's T3. But that is it for this week. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves and in the iPad. And we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 podcast.